Blog Talk Radio. The recording has started.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise Him on today. We do bless the Lord. We give the Lord thanks. Ah, yes, Lord. Amen. That song says, I feel like giving the Lord the glory, the glory. The glory, I feel like giving God the glory. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has the Lord been good to you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We bless God tonight. Amen, Jesus. We thank Him on tonight for His goodness. We just bless Him tonight. It is indeed another day that the Lord has kept us. We're so grateful. We're so glad. We're so grateful and so glad for the keeping power of God on tonight. Amen. We just want to thank Him. Again, as we come to lift our voices unto Him, as we come to just give him glory, to again give him praise. People of God, I'm grateful today. I'm grateful today. Amen. And being in the presence of the Lord, and I tell you, I'm grateful. As we often say, there's a lot going on in the earth. But we give God thanks, we give God praise that he is constant. He is constant. He remains the same. The scripture declares Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we bless the Lord today. We thank God. Amen. Listen, we pray that you had a beautiful time at your, if you had services on today, we pray that the Lord came in a mighty way. We pray that you were blessed. Glory to God that you got all you could and that you're coming to get more. So we bless the Lord. We thank the Lord tonight for, again, bringing us together for glory to God. Just one more time, as the song said, glad to be in the service. Just one more time. One more time. Amen. So we do bless the Lord today. We thank him again. We glorify him. Glory be to God, for he's worthy. He's worthy of the praises. Again, he's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of all of the glory. Amen. Jesus, people of God, we're safe. We're safe in his arms. Amen. Glory to God. We're safe. We're in the arms of Jesus. Glory to God. So we give him thanks. We give him praise again on today. We bless him. We bless his precious name on today. Are you excited about what God is doing? Are you really excited about what the Lord is doing, people of God? Or are you blinded by all of the distractions? So many distractions in the earth to pull our attention away from, to pull us, glory be to God, away from the path, glory to God, just to pull us away, trying to pull us away, glory to God, so that we not walk in his divine purpose, glory to God. But we thank God on tonight that that is not our portion. We are tunnel vision. Glory to God. We got one thing on our minds. Amen. We got heaven on our minds. Yes, sir. We got heaven on our minds, and we're grateful again for all that he's doing. We want to welcome all of our listeners, international listeners, our listeners that are listening by way of Facebook, those that are listening by way of the internet, those that are dialed in on tonight. We just thank God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming in to be with us on tonight. We want you to get your pen, get your paper, people of God, get ready, for there's truly a word from the Lord on tonight. We bless the Lord. Glory to God. We bless him, people of God. We can't bless him enough. If we had 10,000 tongues, it really would not be enough to give him praise, to give him thanks, and to give him glory, all of the glory that's due unto his name. Amen. We thank him for his precious promises that he's made unto us. He has made precious promises unto us. And yes, we're so grateful for the promises, for we know that his promises unto us, they're yea and amen. Truly, as he said it, he shall bring it to pass. So we bless the Lord tonight. Again, thank you for coming. Thanking God, people of God, for my leaders on tonight. Just want to thank him for the late apostle, Dr. S.D. James, and thanking him for our senior apostle on tonight, Samuel Huggins James. Thanking him tonight for Bishop K.A. Tina, for my pastor, Apostle D.G. Taylor. I just bless the Lord tonight. I just bless the Lord tonight. Glory to God. I just bless him. My heart is full. I'm grateful to the Lord for all that he's doing. Yes, I'm grateful. Hallelujah. For even as the scripture declares, in his presence is fullness of joy. And I'm telling you, people of God, I feel the joy of the Lord down in my soul on tonight. As you're coming in, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite someone to come. Invite someone to come and be a part of the broadcast on tonight. Glory to God. While you're getting in, just want to thank the Lord for our advisors, each and every one of them. Thank God for our prayer warriors on tonight. Thanking the Lord for our scripture reader on tonight. Yes, we're just grateful. We're grateful, people of God. We know that we can't do it all on our own, but we're so grateful to the Lord. We're grateful. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yay, glory. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just grateful to the Lord for you, for each of you, people of God. We're so grateful to the Lord for you. Yes, for each and every one of you, we're indeed grateful. Amen. For those, again, that are listening in other countries, we thank the Lord for you. We just want to let you know we appreciate you. We thank God for you for listening in. For whatever time this broadcast rests upon your ears, we just want to thank the Lord for you, because we realize that there's so much more that you could be doing, but you have elected to come and join us. And for this, we are indeed, for we're indeed grateful on tonight. And people of God, we are just so grateful. Amen. As you know, we have a standing woman of God that comes to be with us on Sunday and Monday night. We're so grateful. People of God, we want you to go ahead and invite someone. Invite someone to come. Invite them to come and be with you on tonight. Tell them that there is a word from the Lord on tonight. There is a word from the Lord on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So go ahead and invite them to come. Glory to God. Invite, invite, invite. And while you're inviting and while you're getting your pencil and pen ready, glory to God, we're going to ask our prayer warrior on tonight if she would, amen, come forth. Glory to God, and sanctify the line. And then afterwards, we want to ask our scripture reader, glory to God, if she will come with our scripture for tonight. Amen. Glory to God. And glory to God, missionary fan, if she's, amen, on the line, if you're available, God bless you. Glory to God, you have the platform. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The song says, the Lord's been good. The Lord's been good. The Lord's been good to me. How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now when the Lord's been good to me? The Lord's been good. The Lord's been good. The Lord's been good to me. How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now when the Lord's been good to me? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul from sin. How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now? How can I fail him now when the Lord's been good to me? The Lord's been good. The Lord's been good. The Lord's been good to me. How can I fail him now? I just can't fail him now. I can't fail him now because the Lord's been so good to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Master. Almighty God, we praise your holy name tonight, Lord God. We come to lift you up tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come before you right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to look upon us tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and have mercy upon our souls tonight, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look up on this line tonight, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to forgive us, Lord God, for our sins, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for the iniquities, Lord God, any transgressions, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look up on this line tonight, Lord God, and see our needs tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come asking you to forgive us, Lord God. Lord God, for any and everything that we may have done, Lord God, knowing and unknown, Lord God, even the very thoughts, Lord God, we ask you to come in, Lord God, and sanctify us tonight, Lord God. Cleanse us, Lord God, that we may be worthy to come before your throne, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, just to give you the praise, to give you the glory, to give you the honor, Lord God. You've been so good to us, Lord God. You've been so kind to us, Lord God, and we come to say thank you tonight, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for all the many blessings that you have stored upon us, Lord God. We come to say thank you, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for how you moved by your spirit and by your powers, Lord God, in each and every one of our house of worship tonight, Lord God. We magnify you, Lord God. We glorify you. We lift you up this day, Lord God, because truly you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. And we come tonight, Lord God, to lift you up in the beauty and holiness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to move, Lord God, upon the line tonight, Lord God, asking you to bless us tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We asking you right now, Lord God, to give us ears to hear what the Spirit will say tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to take us further, Lord God, in your word, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Take us further, Lord God, in your spirit, Lord God. Open up our eyes to see what you are saying unto us tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come, Lord God, thanking you, Lord God, for the speaker tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for how you use them, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God. We're asking you to move mightily tonight, Lord God. Whatever it may be, Lord God, help us, Lord God, open up our hearts and receive tonight, Lord God. Receive from you tonight, Lord God, through, Lord God, your servant tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless each and every one on the line tonight, Lord God. Some come looking for one thing and some coming for another. Lord God, some coming for healing, some coming for deliverance, some coming for salvation. But Lord God, you know the need, Lord God. You see and you know everything, Lord God. So we ask you this night to supply, Lord God, every need on this line, Lord God, according to your riches and glory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Save tonight, Lord God. Deliver tonight, Lord God. Set free tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Save, Lord God. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Touch that woman, that man, that boy, that girl, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that may be on the line for the first time, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and searching, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for an answer, Lord God. We ask you to move mightily tonight on them tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, move, Lord God, by your spirit, by your mighty power. Look on Minister Bradley. Touch her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We ask you to bless her right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. We give your name the honor tonight, Lord God, for you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord God. You're worthy for every praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, Lord God. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PNN advisors, to the PNN prayer wards, and to all of our listeners near and far. Scripture read will be coming from Lamentation, the 3rd chapter, the 22nd through the 40th verse. First, a little insight. The Book of Lamentation, unique in biblical literature, is a collection of funeral songs or dirges, laments. The first four of the five chapters are arranged acrostically using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3, which includes 66 verses, is arranged acrostically in sequences of three verses each, beginning with the same alphabet letter. The book's tone is heavy. God's judgment had come on Jerusalem and the nation. Though the little area tour of the city is heart-wrenching, verses 22 through chapter 3 are heartwarming and hope-inspired. Similar encouragement is expressed in verses 31 through 32. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he bring grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. Starting at the 22nd verse. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear a yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he had borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to thrust under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that said, and it cometh to pass, and the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceeded not evil and good. Wherefore doth a man complain, a man for the punishment of his sin? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I have read to you the third chapter of Lamentation, the 22nd through the 40th verse. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his holy word.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, people of God, it is coming together. It is coming together. Getting our souls right, our minds right. Glory to God that we can hear from the Lord. So we give God thanks and praise tonight. Missionary fans, sanctifying the lives. Sister Mary Hollins for giving us our scripture reading on tonight. People of God, we are ready. Listen, don't come in and sit until you turn around and invite somebody. Invite somebody to come to the line on tonight. Don't just come by yourself. Glory to God. But certainly invite someone to come and hear a word from the Lord. We are so grateful. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. As I stated, I'm sure, glory to God, that you too had an awesome time in the Lord on today. But we thank God for you coming back for the appetizer, just coming back on tonight. Glory to God, getting another little piece of that cake, getting another little, listen, breaking off, not a full plate now, definitely not a full plate, but just breaking off portions of that you ate today. Glory to God. And people of God, we'll come again tonight to break off a little portion. Glory to God, to hear again what the Lord is saying to us, his people. So tonight, people of God, we are traveling over to Banks, Alabama. As you know, this woman of God has a standing schedule with us until the Lord says the same. We're just so grateful to have her with us here on the Prayer News Network Global. So grateful. Indeed, it is a blessing. Amen. Glory to God. Such a blessing. So tonight, people of God, we're going by way of Jerusalem Temple Evangelistic Pentecostal Church. That's Jerusalem Temple EPC. People of God, we want you to receive tonight none other than Prophetess Sharon Duncan. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen, amen. Good night, every one of you. Blessings to you. God is surely worthy to be praised. He is worthy of every glory, all the honor, all the thanks. We could never really praise him the way he deserves. Bless his name. But I want to take this time out to thank him for another opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. And hallelujah tonight, and to declare what the Spirit of God is saying unto us as his people in this last hour. Protocol has already been established, but I do thank God for my Pastor Lindsay. I thank God for Minister Bradley, Evangelist Bradley, her advisors, and all the prayer warriors, and you from every nation, every tongue, wherever you're from, however you're listening to us tonight, which in any way that you're listening, God bless you, and you're freely welcome. And so there is a word from the Lord, and before I get into the word of God, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, I lift you up tonight. You alone deserve the glory, the praise, and the honor. We could not be here if you did not allow us to be here. We would not even be alive today. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for your grace and your mercy, many of us would have been in a cold grave right now. Many of us could have been in a hospital bed. Many of us could have been afflicted, oh God, out on the streets, my God, tonight. But your grace, oh glory to God, it was your grace, it was your mercy before we were created in our mother's womb that kept us and bring us here this day, oh God, to hear you, God. And Father, I pray tonight that you will release an anointing that would make praying easy, bind the will of the enemy, every interference and interruption in the name of Jesus that has been sent by the air, way of the air and through principalities and powers. We come against it now in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, God, that your word would go forth with clarity and understanding, that your word, God, would help us to do better, that your word would take us higher on another level, that your word, hallelujah, tonight would draw us a little closer to you, and that your word would come to bring correction and instruct us and help us to be better citizens of the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and judgment is in the earth, God. Judgment has already begun. And so if there's ever a time we need to hear what you are saying through your word, it is right now. God, I thank you tonight. Now have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And tonight, people of God, those of you who have gathered tonight to hear what God is saying, this is a message God gave me about 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And he gave me a lot of messages, and I have to wait to listen to him for which one. I had this to minister in the church. I had to do it there first because that was my instruction. But now I'm free to release it on PNN because this topic is, and I might not get to finish tonight as usual, but I'll continue tomorrow night if I am not finished tonight. But this is a timely topic that you scarcely hear being preached or people don't really touch it that much. But the topic tonight is, where is the fear of God in the church? Where is the fear, the reverence, respect, and the honor of God that should be in the body of Christ? And the next thing God brought to me is about Belshazzar. He said, don't we see the handwriting on the wall? And if you read the book of Daniel, I think it's in chapter 6, where this king Belshazzar take the holy things of God and he start to do a lot of foolishness with the things of God, drinking and carrying on with the holy things of God without no respect, no regard, no honor for God. And so he saw the handwriting, a man's handwriting, a finger writing on the wall, which he could not understand. So they had to call Daniel, not Daniel, but he called in the astrologers and all the witches and the warlocks or whoever he had that were made to do interpretation. They could not understand. And so they end up calling Daniel, who had the ability to interpret dreams, because he was also a man of God. He was gifted in that area. And when he came, he told the king what the writing was saying. It was a warning that you are messed up in the house of God. You are dealing with God's things, and you're doing a bunch of foolishness with it. And God said, you're going to die. He gave him a warning message that he was going to die. And if you read the story, he did die. Bless his name, because he had no regard or no respect or nothing for the house of God, for the things of God. And so tonight, I'm going to the book of Malachi. And the book of Malachi, I'm starting from chapter 1, But Malachi was the author of his book, whose name means messenger or messenger of the Lord. Apart from the meaning, hallelujah, tonight of his name, nothing else is known of Malachi, who carried out his ministry in the second half of the 5th century B.C. This date was when the book was written. This final message of the Old Testament contains the prophecy of John the Baptist's ministry, the fulfillment of which begins the New Testament. Malachi develops his main theme, which is the corruption of the priest and the sins of the people against the family and their complacency toward God. He was a minor prophet who preached against Israel for worship practices and called them to religious renewal. And so this is a time that it's time to point out what is going on, not only in the nation, but in the body of Christ. And God is calling us to a religious renewal, a religious revival. We need to revive, and we need to fall back in love with God the way, because many of us have lost our first love. Glory be to God, we have lost the love we had for God and the things of God because the enemy beat us down, but God wants us to have a religious renewal. In chapter 1, the first verse says, "The burden of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, said the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved me?" Now, God is telling the people he loved them. But they're asking God brazenly, "Where have you loved us? We haven't seen your love. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places." How many of you know it's time to build up the places that have been deserted, places of worship that has been closed down, places, my God, of honor that has been shut down because of COVID-19. But it's time to rebuild. It's time to get back on our feet. Hallelujah. They're trying to shut down the house of God. They're trying to shut down everything that has to do with the Lord. But it's time to rebuild those desolate places. Thus said the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord had indignation. And so they was building all kind of things, and God said, I'm going to throw down what you are building because it's not founded on me. You're not doing it for me to get the glory. You're doing it for yourself to get the glory, and you bring sin has come up upon the land because of it. Verse 5 said, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the borders of Israel. How many of you know tonight that God is going to get the glory no matter what is going on? His name is going to be magnified. He will be, hallelujah, Jesus, magnified in this last hour. Verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, glory to God, and a servant his master, bless his name. Then he asks, then if I be a father, where is my honor? If we could honor and have Father's Day for our fathers and give them gifts and go all out sometime to just show them how much we appreciate them, God says you could do that for your father, then how come, where is my honor? Why I don't get that type of honor from my people? And it says, and a servant his master. So if I be a master, where is my fear? How many of you know today you working for someone or you have somebody that is ruling over you? They are your masters. If you're working, your boss becomes your master. Bless his name. Whatever it is that is dominant in your life that has you in fear to make you obey it, then that becomes your master, whatever it is. Said the Lord of hosts unto you, where is my fear? So God is asking us, how come you don't fear me like you fear so many things? All priests, and he's dealing with priests, and how many know that we have become the priests of God? Bless his name. But back then he was dealing with the priests, with the leaders in the house of God. He said that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? So the priests themselves are asking God, how you can ask me, how come I despise your name? Bless his name. And when we look at the word Father here, bless the name of Jesus, it's talking about, glory be to God tonight, it's talking about a nation at large. Not personal. So God is not speaking to us personally when he talks about nation on tonight. Bless his name. He's speaking to every nation. And so in verse 5-7 it says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. The very sin that provoked Nehemiah are condemned by Malachi. And so if you read the book of Nehemiah and Malachi, they both are dealing with the sin that was in Israel. And so they were offering polluted bread. When he said polluted bread, if you think about bread, Jesus is the bread of life. An altar is where they used to slay the beast back then in the Old Testament, bless his name. Hallelujah. And so he said, you offer me polluted sacrifice of bread upon mine altar. What you're giving me is not worthy for me to receive. And if you continue, if you know the story about how the priests used to go in the temple and carry the animal sacrifice to offer up to God, it had to be without blemish, it had to be without spot, and it had to be without wrinkle, else God would not accept it. And that's what he was talking about. He said, you're giving me these messed up sacrifices. You haven't checked it out properly, but you're offering up to me something that is blemished and messed up. I can't receive that from you as a priest, from you as a leader. He can't receive anything. And so they both deal with the body of Christ. And some of the things that they deal with was the defilement of the priesthood. They dealt with foreign marriages after the divorce from the Jewish wife. They dealt with the neglect of the tithes and the offering. Bless his name. In Deuteronomy chapter 15 and 21, it says, and if there be a blemish therein, as it is lame, if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. That's Malachi. We continue Malachi. Will he be pleased with it? So what God is saying tonight, if the priest back then bring a blemish sacrifice, he said, God say you, it's evil. Is it not evil? If you bring something that is not pure before the Lord, he said, it is evil. And then he says in verse 8, give it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept it at thy person, said the Lord of hosts? In other words, what God is saying, if you give your president of the United States or whatever nation you're in, give them something that is not nice. Give them something that has some type of defect in it. You think that they're going to accept it from you? First of all, if you're bringing something to those type of people, they might have someone to check it out before you give it to them to make sure no bomb or nothing that is able to kill the president before you bring it. How much more God is saying tonight, you are not checking what you're giving me. You're giving me broke up praise and messed up, my God, praise and worship. They had to give God the best. And the reason why God said, you don't have no fear of me. When you look at the body of Christ today and the type of sacrifices we give in the offering basket and tithes and offering, the sacrifices we give when it's time to give to our offering and our given money, whatever we're given, check out to see if we're giving God our best. He said, I desire the best of you. And he said, if the governor or some type of people you know in high hierarchies, if they, you can't carry anything to Queen, she's dead now, Queen Elizabeth, you couldn't carry anything to that woman. You have to be stepping in their right, even when they have their event. You got to step in their right. So how much more God is asking tonight, will you honor me in the way you honor these people? He said,
Offer it to thy governor, will he be pleased with you? Or accept it from you, said the Lord. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This had been by your means, which means literally from your hand. He said, you give me this from your hand. Will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts? If you give the governor something in your hand, will he take note of it if it isn't good? If you bring any, God is saying tonight, they will not accept you. And so we think that God accepts any type of praise, any type of worship, any type of offering, any type of tithe, anything type of prayer life, any, oh, glory to God tonight. He don't accept any and everything we give him. Because it has to be perfect. It has to be without spot. It has to be kashando manseke, without wrinkles. But some of our praise and worship and all sacrifices are wrinkled and defected before the Lord. Verse 10 said, who is he there even among you that should shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. And so what God is saying, you might as well shut the door of the house of God. Because what you're doing, I am not pleased with. He said, don't put no kindle, no fire on my altar. Don't bring no broken sacrifice on the altar. Be careful what you're preaching from that pulpit. Be careful what kind of sacrifices you've given in the temple. He said, you might as well, he told him, shut the door because what you're doing is not glorifying me. So much flesh in my presence. So much broke up flesh and nasty attitudes and unforgiveness. And we come inside with all type of foolishness going on in our minds. And we feel like God is pleased with us. God is looking for a pure praise and a pure worship. He's looking for pure hearts. We should have so much fear of God that we should come into the house of God. He said, enter my gates with fear and trembling. Reverence, honor, and respect God the way we enter the doors of his house. Verse 11 said, from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same. He said, my name, glory be to God tonight, shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, said the Lord of hosts. He said, my name, Jesus said, my name is going to be heard all over this world. Don't we see in every nation the name of Jesus is being lifted up and glorified? But verse 12 said, but ye have profaned it, in that ye said, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And so they were complaining about what was going on in the house of God. They were complaining about what type of service was being done in the house of God. And so God said, because you're complaining so much, shut the door. Many people come in with murmuring and complaining and have a problem with who was singing, who was doing praise and worship, who was preaching, wouldn't even support them, have a problem with the leadership. It's so much is going on in the body of Christ in this last hour. And God said, you might as well shut the door. And so verse 13 said, he said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it. What he's saying, you get weary when you come into the house of the Lord and you snuff at the word of God because it's not pleasing. It's not what you want to hear. Many of you might not want to hear what I usually like to say because you said, oh, she always bringing these warning messages. But I could only give to you what God has given to me. I'm a different kind of preacher. I'm called differently, so I can only give to what gift to the people what God has given to me. And he's speaking to the body of Christ because he wants us to be delivered. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be set free. And this is the time where God is, the judgment of God is in the earth, and we got together because God, the anger and the wrath of God is in every nation. And he said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 17, he said, but it's standing at the house of God, which means we've got to get it together to be effective enough to win souls for the kingdom. So he said, and ye brought that which is torn and lame and sick. that she brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, said the Lord? Do we understand what God is saying? When he's talking about what you're offering up to him, he said, you bring something that is torn. It ain't no good, so why are you giving it to me? He said, it's lame. When something is lame, that means maybe your foot is lame. You can't move. It's of none effect. He said, you're bringing the sick. Thus he brought an offering. Should I accept this? Should God accept any type of praise, any type of worship, any type of prayer, any type of commitment, any type of service we give him? He said, should I accept this, said the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, verse 14, which had in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And so what God is saying tonight, there's a curse coming upon people in this hour as it was by them, because he's saying you are a deceiver. You got the best to give me, but you've given me broke up, lame, sick sacrifices. That's what God is saying. There's a curse coming upon those who hold back their tithes and their offerings. He said, don't give, you got in your flock, and if you go and read the Old Testament, if the priest gave God anything, God would not accept it. And so, he, as it was in the beginning, so it shall be in the end. We don't sacrifice bulls and rams and stuff like that anymore, but our offering is our praise. Offer up them a praise of thanksgiving. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of victory. Our lifestyle is a sacrifice unto God. Our worship is a sacrifice unto God. The many times we come to church is a sacrifice unto God. Our prayer lives are sacrifice unto God. And so God said, you made a vow. How many of you have made a vow and have yet to fulfill that vow? He says, better not to make it than to make it and break it, because there are consequences. And he said, you sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a king. God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is telling us that I am a king, but yet you bringing me all type of things. You can't carry nothing to the king in England right now, because he's a king and he's not going to accept anything from you if you do. And so God is saying, you want me to accept anything you give me. I can't do that because I am a king, said the Lord. And my name is dreadful among the heathen. This topic, I mean, that God gave me when I started to really study, and it spoke to me. And when I thought I was finished with it 2 years ago, in the month of August of this year, God began to download more revelation concerning the lack of fear and reverence the church has for him. He spoke to me about how many in the body of Christ, his church, lack fear, reverence, and respect for his house, his presence, for who he really is, and for leadership. A lot of people don't respect the house of God or leadership or his presence. Bless his name. Hallelujah. He said many in the body of in the body of Christ at large are walking in more fear of their bosses. Your employer get more fear than God does from you. They fear showing up late for work, but they don't fear coming into the house of God for service late. People do not fear coming to church late. They take it lightly, but God is taking record, because if we could honor our jobs and our bosses that much, that we come to, some of us come to work half an hour early, 10 minutes early. We set our clocks to make sure that we be to work before that time, because we have a fear that we would be reprimanded. So God said, where is my honor and respect? Many were pushed to go to work even if they are sick, or work overtime, even if they're tired and don't feel like it. But when it comes to time, when it comes time for service, we find so much excuses. Many can count the days they have missed work, but lose count of how many times they miss service at church. If you be real and honest, we have missed more service from church than we miss our day at work. because that's how much our jobs mean to us, and how if we really compare it, we can look at it and see how much the job means to us, how much our boss means to us, then who God means to us, and the service at the church means to us. This is because their jobs are more valuable and means more to them. We are living in a time where the things of God and the kingdom of God should be top priority, should be first and foremost above anything else that we could ever possibly think about doing in this last hour. And if God and his kingdom is not top priority in our lives, then we made a sad mistake, because we're going to stand and give an account to God, especially if you're called to ministry, especially if God has given you an assignment and you're thoughtful and waiting about it. We are going to give an account, because if we could put emphasis on getting jobs to make money to pay bills, then we're going to be accountable for how we deal with the things of God. A lot of people, they fear getting their paychecks cut. They fear dying or death. They fear sicknesses and disease. They fear COVID-19, bless his name, repossessions and foreclosures. Sleeping in the dark, being alone, losing jobs, not being able to pay their bills. They fear trusting people. They fear men and things, situation and circumstances more than they fear God. And God began to speak to me concerning COVID-19. And he said to me, look at COVID-19. The government has set rules and restrictions. You got to wear a mask. You have a mandate that you got stay 6 feet apart. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's so much loss from COVID-19 because they don't want you to die. They don't want you to get sick. And so we obey those rules to the T. Some don't, but most of us obey those rules. We got to take a test, and a COVID test, to come into some places. And God began to show me, he said, look at how they obey the law that man has set in place. But I have set laws in my body. I have set laws in the body of Christ, my law. I have laws in my word. And many of us have yet to obey the rules and the laws God has in his word, to obey the rules and the laws God has given to the leadership for us to make it in the kingdom. He said they obey the laws of the land more than they obey the laws of my word. And so God is looking at us in this hour and see that there is a lack of fear, reverence, and respect for what he has said and who he has put in place for us to make it in the kingdom. God began to tell me they fear repossessions and foreclosures. They fear being alone. They fear not being able to pay bills and trusting people. And if we examine ourselves right now tonight, as we sit and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying tonight, glory to God, we will find out that something, glory tonight, or someone has us walking and operating in fear. He said too many of his people are living in fear of the unknown, but have no fear, honor, reverence, or respect for him the way he deserves to be feared. Many give men more respect and reverence than they give him. They would praise and scream and shout for people when they have accomplished a goal in their life. Hallelujah. You have men, or those of you who like sports, those of you who like entertainers and singers and all kind of models or whoever they are. You hear people screaming and shouting to the top of their voice at football games, basketball games, and all type of games. Bless his name. Men, they're watching television and they're watching football. You can hear them a mile away screaming in their houses because their team is winning. Glory to God. But when it comes to God, even when the children having fun, you can hear the children screaming and making noise. But when it comes to God and worship, and we go to church, people can hardly open their mouth to say hallelujah. They hardly open their mouth to give God a real praise or to give God a real worship. They hardly open their mouth to say amen. But we could scream and shout and my God and give everything else that time. Oh, glory to God. God deserves a standing ovation. He deserves an incredible praise. He, my God, we didn't even have to be here to give him the glory. But it shows where the mindset of the people are. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about Christian people tonight. I'm talking about those who call ourselves by the name of the Lord. God is speaking unto us tonight. He said, we don't pay. Oh, glory to God. We don't honor respect. And this is not for everybody. Because if this don't fit you tonight, then bless God. But I know I can do better. I know I can give more God praise. I know I can come up higher. And so it goes to me tonight too. Blesses me because God is looking for us to give him more than we have given him. We said we want to go to heaven. But let me tell you something. In heaven, there's going to be plenty noise. The Bible said this. The angels are coming back and the trumpets of God are going to sound. The Bible said day and night they're crying, holy, holy, holy. They don't stop praising God. They are yelling and screaming. So those who you think that you don't have to do all of that and all of that noise is not necessary, but I'm sorry for you. God gave me a vision a few years ago, and I was an Adventist at this time. And God, I saw the coming of the Lord. I saw the clouds open, and I saw Jesus descending out of the clouds. And to the corner where I lived, there was a bunch of us, a whole crowd of people to the corner. And as we looked up, he didn't touch the earth. He was suspended in midair. And out of all the people, only two of us was really praising the Lord. And we were yelling and screaming because we saw him coming. And he looked down and he spoke to me and he said, only those who know how to praise me is going to have a place in the kingdom. And so God is looking for true worshipers. He is looking for true praisers. He is looking for those who would sacrifice of themselves and worship him in fear. Look at how they go all out, lifting up and praising these famous people, falling out all over the place, fainting and screaming. When Michael Jackson was here, look at the crowd. Beyonce, they drawing a crowd, and these people are going insane about these people. God needs some people who are going insane about feeling that way about him, being insane about how they worship him. It's time for us to get out of the flesh and get out of our comfort zone. Blesses him and start to give God what he deserves. Some of us in the body of Christ, we have people like prophets and apostles and bishops and evangelists, bless his name, and ministers of the gospel that have they have made them their idols. Some people idolize these people with the big time name. They become their God. Just like the rappers and the movie stars and these people, they made them their gods, these popular people. And God, they have no other God before me. And if we have these, have anything that it takes the place of God in our lives, take the place when it's time, we find all kind of excuses. You don't know God looking at us and said, well, what's wrong with them? What about me? If we compare our action toward God with theirs toward people, can we say that we really love and fear God the way he deserves to be feared and loved? Bless his name. Do we really praise and honor him the way he really deserves? Let us examine ourselves tonight and see what we are giving God if we think that he is satisfied with it. It is shameful to see the way some of us treat God when it's time to give him worship and praise. The dedication and commitment of some of us in the body of Christ is so shameful to God. If we compare it to how committed some are to their jobs and people and things and their personal lives, bless his name tonight, glory be to God, a lot of people will go above and beyond for people they know for their jobs and things that are valuable to them. They will go the extra mile for themselves to accomplish their goals they have set for their personal lives and things that mean so much to them. Bless his name. More than they would for God or the things of God, even for someone they love so much. If we truly look within ourselves, do we really go beyond the call of duty for the kingdom of God? Do we go beyond the call of duty to win souls for the kingdom, to evangelize, to share the love of God, to reach the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to take the homeless in, to visit the prisons, bless us. Do we have that type of drive, and oh God, tonight, for the things of God? When we examine ourselves tonight, do we really love and fear God? It's a question. God said to me, this is a time for us for a self-evaluation, self-examination. It's a time of cleansing for the body of Christ, purification, deliverance, commitment, dedication, and change. A complete turnaround for the body of Christ. We need to be kingdom-minded more than earthly-minded. Hallelujah, Jesus. We don't have much time to get it together. When you look, hallelujah, in Jerusalem right now, we talked about what they sacrifice unto the Lord. They already got the red heifers ready. Next year at the same time of the feast days, they are going to sacrifice those red heifers unto the Lord to cleanse. They have to cleanse the area first because they are now gathering the stones to rebuild the third temple mount in Jerusalem. And these are major signs that we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus is here. This is not the time to get ready. This is not the time to be double-minded. This is the time because you don't know if you could die tonight. You don't know if this will be the last time you be on PNN. Bless us if they hear a sermon. We don't know where dead is for us. We don't know. Jesus could blow the trumpet at any given time if he chooses to. But there are signs that must be fulfilled before he comes. Bless us, and so God is saying that he wants the fear to come back like it was in the days of old. When you look at the Old Testament and you check out the prophets and apostles of old, those men of God back then, they had such a fear of God that it wasn't funny. You can't live any way you feel if you have the fear of God. If we truly have the fear of God, we would walk like we're walking on eggshells in this hour. If we have the real fear of God, we wouldn't live our lives any type of way. We'd be careful how we live when we leave the doors of the church or the temple. So God is saying, this is how we should come now. We should look around and we should change. He's calling for more from us. He said, the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivers them. God said, I will deliver them who fear me. I will put my angels around them who fear me. That's what he said, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. Psalms 34:7. And he said, what? I am going to deliver them. You can't be out of the will of God. We can't be out of the will of God and think God is going to always protect us and be there for us when we're doing a bunch of mess. Those days are over. We took advantage of the grace and the mercy of God over and over, but this is the time when the mercies of God and the grace of God is shutting down because there is a remnant now that God is pulling out from among the people, and he is calling them to himself, and he will protect them that fear him. He will deliver them that fear him. But do we have that fear for God to keep us? God is telling us there is no lack to those who fear him. Psalms 34:9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. When you find a person being prospering, and when you find a person that is being protected, that's a person that is walking in the fear of God. He said, fear the Lord. He's given us a command. Fear the Lord, oh my God, ye his saints. We are the saints of the Lord, and God is telling us to fear him, for there is no want if you fear him. And we look at the midwives in the time of Moses, how the midwives in the time of Moses, they had such a fear of God that when the king told them to kill all the baby boys, just like they did in the time of Jesus, they refused to kill those baby boys. They had such a fear of God that they would hide these baby boys. And then when the king called them to question them, they would lie to the king and tell them that the Israelite women, they give birth before we could get to the babies, and so we don't get to kill the baby boys. And if you read the story, because they had a fear of God, the Bible said God even built houses for them. And so having a fear of God will open doors for you and bring increase in your life. But when we don't have that fear of God and we keep praying for things and praying for this and that, and it's taking long to come, then God is saying tonight, we need to check to see if we're walking in fear of who he is. Exodus chapter 1, 15 to 21, but I'll give you just one verse. The midwives feared God and did not as the king commanded them, but saved the baby children alive, saved the male children alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptians, for they are lively and are delivered heir, the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And so therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Understand what God is saying tonight. There's a certain level of fear, respect, and honor God, hallelujah, tonight is looking for from the body of Christ to be blessed. God is not going to show his blessing on people who don't have no fear and honor and respect for him. There's a certain attitude of fear and honor, reverence and respect that God is looking for from the body of Christ, those who say that they love God. The king of Egypt gave them this specific thing, but they refused to do it because of what they felt inside for God. What do you feel inside for God tonight? There was a certain man named Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, if you know the story, he was not an Israelite. He was of a Gentile nation. He was a centurion man. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2 that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his whole house feared God, which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. So this man, Cornelius, he was a devout man. He was devoted to God. He was one that had the fear of God, but not only him. He said, everybody in his house, does everybody in your house, in our houses, fear God? And see, we got to get our house in order, because we say, oh, I can't correct my child, and I can't correct this one who's living with me. I got to leave them alone and pray. But this man and his household had a fear for God. And so God is saying tonight, you can leave them alone, bless his name, but you better get your house in order and stop letting foolishness go on under your nose, and you're not bringing correction to it. He said, warn the wicked and warn the righteous. That's Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. Ain't nobody's exempt from being corrected or instructed, my God, in this last hour. But this man, he had a fear of God with all his house, which gave much alms. He used to reach out to the poor. He used to reach out to the fatherless and the needy. He used to give to those that were unfortunate. And the Bible said he prayed to God always. He had a consistent prayer life. And so this man had a lot of qualities in him that God was pleased with. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feared God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews. So even though he was not a Jew, he had a good report. His lifestyle was lined up among the Jewish nation. And so God gave this man a vision with angels speaking to him and told him to go to get Simon down in Joppa to bring Simon to his house and so that Simon could explain the vision, what he was having. And in the meantime, while he was fasting and praying, because he was fasting and praying when the angels showed up, God sent Peter a vision. Peter had a vision the same time this man was praying, and God bring the sheep down with unclean animals and clean and unclean animals. And Peter said, and told Peter, you must kill and eat. Peter said, not so, I can't do that because I've never eaten nothing that is unclean. And God said to him, do not call what I have cleansed unclean. So it wasn't about the animals, but God was showing him the life of Cornelius, because he was getting ready to send him, even though he was a Gentile and centurion. And so when he went there, he began to minister to them. And if you read it, he said the Holy Ghost fell in his house and everyone got saved. But he had the fear of God. And so God delivered his entire household and his family. The lack of fear can cause your death. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, 15 to 25, what does it say? If ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now, therefore, stand and see the great sight which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat or harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain. So this is talking about the children of Israel and Moses at that time, where they had a fear of God, and God began to send the thunder and the lightning, and they greatly feared the Lord. Bless his name. And so as we go down further in the word tonight, God was ready to destroy his people because they have no fear. They rejected God and asked for a man. In the time of Israel, they asked for a man to be king to lead them in the place of God. And so when you pick anybody aside from God, you are sinning in the eyes of God. If you pick anything to lead you beside God, then God is looking at you and saying you are sinning. And so that's what Israel did. They chose a king. They chose King Saul over God leading them. And it was a sin in the eyes of God. And so God said, I'm going to deal with them. But God had raised up Samuel to speak to the children of Israel because they were doing a lot of foolishness back then. You have Job. Job was the next man that feared God. And Job chapter 2 and 3 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And so Job had a fear of God. We are talking about the fear of God tonight. We need to understand if we come to worship God or to minister, if it's not from a pure spirit, then we are wasting our time. God is not being glorified, and it will be rejected as it was back then. And so, you know, many of us come to the PNN prayer line. Are we coming just to hear a speaker? Are we coming just out of curiosity? What are we coming for? Are we coming because, God, we want to learn more? We want to grow closer? What is the object of us coming to this prayer line day after day, evening after evening? Are we growing? Are we advancing the kingdom? Are we maturing? Are we standing in fear of God? Is the word of God changing us to make us more dedicated and committed to God? The fear that many are walking in today that I've seen that God was pointing out to me is demonically activated. So what is the definition of that fear? It's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone is dangerous, likely to cause panic, agitation, dread, dismay, anxiety, worry, unease, apprehension, apprehensiveness, nervousness, timidity, disquiet, unrest, doubt, suspicion. You begin to shake, the shakes, dread, horror, terror. These are just a few words that describe the word fear. All of these words are connected with demonic activities. And so anybody, if you examine yourself and any of these words that you can find yourself in, then that's a demon attacking your mind, and that's a demon attacking your life. What is the meaning of fear? It's called the word, we're going to spell it F-E-A-R, fear. F means false. E means evidence. A means appearing, and R means real. So that type of fear is false evidence appearing real. It also means false expectation appearing real. False experiences appearing real. False emotion appearing real. False expectation about reality. Future events appearing real. This means that there is no true threat of immediate physical danger, no threat or loss of someone or something dear to us. There's actually nothing there at all. The question tonight is fear holding us back from coming into a full potential. It's fear holding you back from coming into your ministry. It's fear holding you back from going out there and getting that job that God has spoken to you, that prophetic word that God has given you, that business God wants you to start, that marriage he asks you to go into. What fear is holding you back from? What is making you so afraid that you don't know how to step out? You've been praying a long time, and you've been questioning God, but there is this fear in you that you might just mess up. There's this fear in you that it might not come into fruition. And so that fear is demonically activated because God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Is it keeping us back from having full? It also can keep you back from having full access to the promises of God. Anytime you operate in fear, you will not walk into the access that God has opened for you, doors that God has given you, ways that he has made. Fear will cause you to literally use access to your full promises that God has given unto you. Many of us in the body of Christ are walking in these type of fear, but not walking in the fear that is operated by faith. There's a fear that you're walking in it, but there's a fear that you operate by faith, and that is the fear of God. We fear when God speaks. We should have this fear that God is speaking, and that we should step out by faith and say, God, you're speaking. And there's this fear that would come upon you sometimes when God is speaking. It can get scary sometimes with the things that God is saying. But you got to step out in faith. If God tells you step out in faith, don't let fear overtake you. Pull it down and move out on what God has for you. The meaning of the word fear that I am dealing with tonight is about the attitude on the way we deal with God. The reverence, the respect, the terror, the awe of who God is. The dread of God, the adoration of God. It means worship. It means confidence. It means thankfulness. This fear I'm talking about tonight, it means love. It's dealing with love. It can also mean God's judgment, and it could be terrible. So the word fear of God has all type of different definition right there. Malachi chapter 1, 6 through 14, if you look at it, and I already explained that to you about the type of fear we should have for God and reverencing God and doing all of that. Bless his name. So God deserves supreme honor, but the priests and the leaders were the ones despising the name of God back then. How did they despise the name of God? By offering him all kinds of things that was not acceptable. Glory to God. And so God is saying, it's time to give me what I really deserve. It's time to give me what I expect of you. Stop holding back on me. Stop looking for excuses. Stop trying to do it of your own self. It's time to let go and let me have my way. Because of their contempt for God and the Mosaic law, those people back then, they would be wiser to close the doors, as God was saying. They disrespect the laws of Moses. They disrespect everything that has to do with God. And if you look at it today, we are no different. People are disrespecting everything. So many people in the body of Christ have no respect for God at all. And there's a mockery going on against the church and in the churches. As we look around at what is happening in the world today, it should cause us to draw closer to God and have such reverence, fear, and respect for who he is, for the things of the kingdom, more than focusing on our own lives. He said we should lay down our lives for his gospel. Hallelujah. He said we should lay down, hallelujah, our lives for the kingdom of God. He said, we should lay down our lives, people of God. Are we ready to lay down our lives for this gospel tonight? When we walk in fear and reverence for God, we have to come to the place and, oh God, in our lives, that our lives is like a shadow. Our lives don't mean anything right now does not mean anything. It should not mean that much to you, because it can be taken away within a split second. God said, I give you life, and I can take it in a split second. I give you breath, and the breath we breathe, my God, God said, it belongs to me, and I can take it within a split second. We have to come to the place where we, oh God, where the will and the kingdom of God means more to us than anything else that we're trying to accomplish right now. We need to keep in mind that only what we do for him will matter when we stand before him to give an account more than anything else that we can ever do in our lives. We got to focus on the kingdom. My God, because I'm telling you, it's going to, when God opened the books, he said, the books, there's more than one book, the book of death and the book of life. Where is your name tonight? Is your name written on the book of life or the book of death? Because God has some books and he's writing all the time. And we're going to give an account for everything that we do. Hallelujah, Jesus, whether it be good or whether it be evil, when we walk in fear and reverence and respect for the things of the kingdom, we would come to realize that the will of God is more important than any plans we have for our lives. And whatever we accomplish in this life means nothing if we are not walking in obedience and fear of God. This is the hour, people of God. God is saying, be sensitive to his voice. Know his voice. Come up higher. Change our mindset. Put on the mind of Christ. Be kingdom-minded, not earthly-minded. We are not of this world. All of in this world is vanity and vexation of spirit, like Solomon said. He said, I tried everything under the sun. I had riches and I had wealth. You know that he was the wisest man that ever lived, and he had riches upon riches. But he said, when I looked at it and I examined it, all of it was a waste of time. It was vanity and vexation of spirit. So many people work them not for houses and land, hallelujah, to accomplish this and that. How many of you know that it's all fuel for the fire? My God, but only what we do for Jesus Christ will matter on that day when we stand before the Bema, or we stand before the white throne judgment. Bless the name of the living God. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 2 said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above and not on the things of this earth. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, hallelujah, the same shall save it. And so God is speaking tonight. But are we listening? In Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen and all the apostles back then. My God, they gave up their life for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. When we come to the place where we honor, fear, reverence, and respect God, we will be so careful about the way we live our lives and the way we treat each other, the things concerning his will and his kingdom. This should be our top priority above everything else right now. The way we show love to each other is more important, because God said, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and your strength. And he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said, anything you do, if it don't, oh God, if you're not doing it with love, it does not mean anything to God. No matter what we do, people of God, if we are not loving people and walking in fear of God, we are wasting our time. If we have unforgiveness, then we are wasting our time coming to church so we praise and worship it and giving God glory, because God is looking at our heart, and some of our hearts can be very dark because we're still holding people in. We're still holding in grudges and all kind of things. But yet we come say, we're lifting up holy hand because there is no fear. That's why we think we can do the things that we do and think God has been glorified. We're our God, but he is not. And so we need to ask ourselves, is the decision and plans we are making pleasing God or ourselves? All the decision and plans for your life, is God included in your plans? We're excited about sending our children to colleges. We're spending money doing things and getting this together and the big split level and the fine cost. Are we pleasing to God? Where does God fit in our plans? There's nothing wrong with heaven because David was rich, Solomon was rich, Abraham was rich. But Abraham was a man that had a fear of God. These people love God. Solomon built the temple before he even built himself a house. God says, Solomon, I want you to build a temple. He was rich. He could have built his house first, but he said, you know what? I'm going to build the house of the Lord first, and then I will check for myself. How many of you are there tonight? The kingdom of God lie in wait. The temple need restored. The house of God lie in wait. But we're focusing on building my life and getting this land and getting this. That's all good, but God said, put me first, and that includes everything about God. We've got to keep in mind that our lives are not our own. We cannot live the way we feel, do what we feel, when and how we feel like living, the way we think and speak out without fear of God. Our lives do not belong to us. And I think if we come to grips and start to realize that, hey, I do not belong to myself, I belong to Jesus, so I can't just do and go and act the way I feel. Do we really fear God when we habitually sin? There are many in the body of Christ have a habit of sinning. And it's a sign that we do not have no conviction, fear, or reverence for God. When we make excuses to continue in sin, we do not fear God. Many make excuses by saying we are not perfect, that we're under the spirit of grace, and his blood covers our sin. These are some of the excuses they're giving. So we continue to mess up, and because it seems like we're getting away with it, we continue to do it. This kind of attitude shows that we have no fear for God. Or some would say, I'm only human, and we all make mistakes. How long are we going to continue to make mistakes? How long are we going to keep messing up in the body of Christ from the pulpit to the door? Because you have some leaders doing a bunch of mess and still preaching. They're doing a bunch of mess and still singing and playing the instruments in church. Hallelujah, doing praise and worship. They're living a lifestyle that is not conducive to that of a Christ-like lifestyle, and they still doing things in the house of God. The excuse so many make or give is that we're given a license or permit to sin. And to make these excuses, God is tired of it. He said, holiness without which no man can see him. It is holiness or hell. They don't preach about hell no more. They don't preach about the lake of fire. They don't preach on the fear of God. And so because these things are not being preached, and they're preaching the pretty gospel of blessing and prosperity, and God gonna bless you, but you all messed up. God gonna bless you, but you still shacking up. God gonna bless you, but you still sinning. God gonna bless you, but you are living no type of lifestyle. Prophetic words after prophetic words about what God is getting ready to do in you. And you know you're ready for it. And so God is saying tonight, the time of giving excuses are over. People act like God is blind or deaf and he can't see. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 said, God forbid. Shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's two questions God is asking. How long are we going to continue in sin to think that God is going to allow his grace, which is his favor, to be over our lives, to keep us and to provide for us? It's going to shut down, and it's shutting down for many because they take advantage of God's goodness and God's mercy. God forbid, he say, not so. It's not going to continue that way. How shall we, who call ourselves by the name of Jesus, continue to live in sin? You should be dead. We should be dead to sin. Be dead to the carnal nature. I must ask us tonight, do we really fear God if we in the body of Christ continue to find excuses to keep sinning? When we continue to live this way, it shows that what is in our hearts toward God and the things of the kingdom. First Peter chapter 1:15-19 said, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversations meaning the way you live, your lifestyle, what you're saying. Because it is written in verse 16, it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. 17 says, and if ye call on the Father who without respect of person, judging according to every man's work. Because I'm judging you, every one of you, according to your work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. God is saying tonight in verse 17, I don't have no respect of person, but I'm going to judge you according to your work. And he said, because I'm going to judge you according to the type of work that you do for me, pass your time here with fear. He's telling us to pass the time. Live in this earth in fear of him. Live in this earth of honoring him. Live in this earth in respecting and giving him reverence. Because he's judging your work and our attitude toward him. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. God said you are not redeemed. You are not saved by the corruptible things, like with money and houses and land. By the conversation, talking about tradition, a lot of us have tradition and all kind of things going on. He said these are not the things that save you. But verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the lamb without blemish and without spot. Didn't we just talk about the lamb in Malachi chapter 1 that was without spot and blemish that God is looking for? And they was giving him all type of things, all type of corrupt things. And so he said, my blood is precious. And Jesus became that lamb. Jesus took the place of that animal. And he didn't have no sin. They couldn't find no kind of spot, no kind of wrinkle, no kind of blemish in Jesus' life. He was without spot and he was without blemish. And so God said, he was our example. Don't tell me we can't do it. If we put our minds to do it, we can do all things through Christ who gave us the strength. Jeremiah chapter 5:21-31 says, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? God is asking a question. Said the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? And so God said, you don't fear me. When you come into my presence, you don't tremble. No, we don't. We come in with devices, all kind of phones and tablets and whatever, and then the service is going on. Some people are on their phone. Some people are talking. We have so much disrespect for the presence of God and the house of God. We have all kind of things, distraction in the house of God, on Facebook, on Twitter, answering chat, answering messages in the house of God. My God, we have our phones all week. We have our phones basically all day and all through the night. God said, come into my house and tremble in my presence. Give me just an hour of your time. Give me just 2 hours without your devices and without distraction. Even in your prayer life, give me some time without having to be distracted. Even in your worship life, when you begin to praise me, put away these distractions. I'm looking for something pure like I was pure. I'm looking for something without spot and blemish. Oh, Rebe Kashanda. He said, but both the form and the latter rain. That he said, fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain in the season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sin have withholden good things from you. And so anytime you're living a life of sin, God said it's your iniquity that is withholding good things from you. God can't bless us when we are mess. God don't bless mess. We have to be holy. The times when God used to have mercy, when he used to rain on the just and the unjust, those days are taking a turn. A shifting is going on. A paradigm shift is happening in the atmosphere in the church. He said, for among you, I'm getting ready to bring this to a close, and I'll finish it tomorrow. For among my people are found wicked men. He said, he didn't say among the heathen nation. He said, among my people, God is saying tonight, I find wicked men. They lay wait as he that sitteth or setteth snares. They set a trap by, they catch men. And so he said, there are wicked people in his house that laying low for people, that trying to catch people in a snare and holding them hostage in the body of Christ. And how many know you have these preachers who preaching pretty words and small words, and they're trapping people, getting people to send all their hard-earned money and prophesying all type of lies and prophesying things that the itching ears want to hear. And then they got a cash-up account, and they give you their bank account, blesses in the send them their monies, or your monies, I should say, and you find them, they live in large and in charge, and you're trying to struggle. You're trying to make ends meet. They should be helping you. Bless his name. But they're just stealing, and they're wicked, God says, and they're lying wait tonight, and they say he says tonight, and he that set a snare is a trap. They set a trap and they catch men. So all type of people are being caught into these type of men today, these type of speakers, these type of prophets. Many people have been gravitating toward this type of atmosphere because they want a prophetic word. They want to hear somebody prophesy. And so they're like, the Bible says, verse 27, as a cage full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit, these type of leaders, these type of people. Therefore, they are become great and waxing rich. The people drawing people unto them, you look at it. This is what the Bible says. They have a cage full of birds. They're drawing these people like you have a cage full of birds. And they have their houses full of deceit. They are liars. They would lie to you. And it says, therefore, they are become great. You don't see all the great names with the big mega churches all over YouTube and all over whatever they are? Great. They become great. And it says, and waxing great. That is verse 27. Waxing rich. They are waxing fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the course of the fatherless. They don't check for the fatherless. They don't check for the widows. But the Bible says, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy, they do not judge. But they still prospering. You don't see how the word of God is being fulfilled right now? These type of people are prosperous with the split levels, with the yacht and the jets and everything you see. This Bible tonight. Verse 28, God, 29, I'm sorry, God said, shall I not visit for these things, said the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? He said, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love it so, but what shall you do in the end? And so he said, something horrible and wonderful has been committed in the land. These prophets are prophesying falsely, like I just explained to you. And you have the priests who are leaders. They are ruling the church by their own means, which means they're ruling the house of God the way they want to rule it, not according to the word of God, not according to the order of God, but by their own rule. And he said, my people, his people love it so. He said, God said, my people, they love this kind of preaching. They love this kind of prophecy. They love this kind of things that they're doing. But he said, what shall they do in the end? That's the question. What people who get caught up in this type of sneer and this type of trap, with people who don't fear God, with leaders who don't fear God, with prophets who don't fear God, that taking the word of God and twisting it to suit their lifestyle. They're taking the word of God and twisting it so that people can gravitate toward their ministry, that they can pull you in And then they rape you of your money. They rape you of what you work hard for. And you'll be broke, busted, disgusted, and just you can't be trusted anymore. And so God is saying tonight, bring back the fear in my house. Bring back the fear. The leaders from the pulpit to the door should be a fret and a reverence for God. But you even have some leaders on the pulpit with disrespect for God. Some of them, oh God, the way they do on that pulpit, you can see that there is no fear, reverence, or respect for God. God is saying you should be trembling when you come into my presence. There should be such an awe of me that when you enter the doors, when your footstep into the sanctuary, you should be saying, oh God, God is here tonight. Blessing him. But God, the presence of the Lord is not in the house of God the way it should be. And so we don't have that type of fear as it was when the presence of the Lord came down in the time of Moses. Hallelujah. The Bible said the glory filled the house. Blessed him. And the people could not enter. He could not even go in because of the glory. Even in the time of Solomon, when he finished building the temple, hallelujah, and he kneeled down and he began to pray. And as he prayed, the glory of the Lord filled that place. And the Bible said the priest could not get in to minister. God wants to bring that glory back. God wants to bring that type of anointing back. But it's going to take us standing in fear and reverence, honor and respect for who God really is. It's going to take us, my God, trembling and say, God, there's such a reverence and fear. It has to be on the inside of us. It got to be on the inside. It got to be in your spirit. It got to be tangled up in your soul. And God is going to bring fear back to the house because his glory is going to be returned in this last hour. And that glory comes with a type of fear and reverence and respect that we have for God. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. And so God wants his fear back. And God wants to return that glory. He said a lot of glory shall be greater than the former. But it's going to take us walking in fear and changing the way we treat God in this last hour. When you don't have no fear of God in the nations and in the churches, he will move quickly by wrath. And he will move quickly by judgment. As you look all around, don't you see the judgment and the wrath of God in the earth? And in the churches, people getting shoot up in the churches. People can get in the church now and they're dying in the house of God. Don't we see that there is no fear? Where's the presence? Where's that type of presence? God wants to bring that back. But it's going to take us being submissive and obedient and wanting and desiring that from God. Bless his name tonight. And so those of us on the line tonight, God is speaking. This message is not no personal message. This is a general message for the entire body of Christ worldwide. This message, because God was talking to the nation, and so all of us are from different nations tonight, God is speaking to every one of us, every leader, every minister of the gospel. He is speaking to us very loud and very clear, but are we listening? And tonight, those of you on the line, you might still be holding back and giving your life to the Lord. You might still be holding back on getting closer. Something has you in fear tonight. Something has you in fear and it's keeping you stagnated and keeping you stuck in the same position. Like the children of Israel was going around in the desert. God said the journey that I'm sending you to get over to the Canaan land to bless you is only 11 days. Bless his name. But it took them 40 years. And why? Because they didn't have the fear of God. They were murmuring, they would complain, and they would come up against Moses, and they would do everything except what God told them to do. And so it took them 40 years, and bless his name. And the Bible said that generation, they died. Some of them didn't make it to the promised land. It was the younger generation that made it over with Joshua. And so many of us tonight, God said, I'm trying to take us to the promised land, but why are you murmuring? Why are you complaining? Why are you holding back? Why are you walking in fear? I want to take you over, and you're going around in the same circle. Your ministry is not moving forward. Something is going on. So God is saying tonight, I'm here to take you into that place. But it's going to take us, our minds, to get into that mindset to reach our full potential. And so tonight, if you need to repent tonight, God is here. You need a closer walk tonight, God is here. If you need more of God, God is here tonight. blesses me. And I know some people are shy and afraid to come on over and say anything. And God sees and understands, but that's the spirit of fear. And we break the spirit of fear from over our lives tonight. We pull down every spirit of fear because God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. We cancel every spirit of fear tonight that has been sent over the line in the name of Jesus, over the atmosphere in your house tonight in the name of Jesus. We cancel everything that is not like God that has been sent by the way of the spirit. This is Halloween month, people of God. This is one of the most dangerous time of the year. Blessings in tomorrow is Halloween. Didn't you see the stampede in North Korea? 153 people died because they were cram jammed. They were so excited to get out to serve the devil, and some of them are still missing. Don't we see the signs? October is one of the most demonic times, especially this Halloween. And you have a lot of Christians sending their children celebrating Halloween and taking them to trick and treat. Don't you know that it's of the devil? God wants us to be holy. And so you'll find yourself getting more attacks. Like right now, the attacks are coming out against you even more than before. But God is here tonight to heal every hurt, every wound, everything that you're dealing with. I pray tonight for healing over this line. I pray tonight for deliverance over this line in your mind, in your emotions, in your body. I pray for God, the Holy Ghost, to invade you, and the Holy Ghost will engulf you, and the Holy Ghost will just take over right now in your home where you sit, wherever you are tonight, wherever you are today or this afternoon. I pray that the Spirit of Almighty God will touch you and change you and bring us together as one in Jesus' name. And I say amen.
Amen, amen, amen tonight. Glory to God, amen. Listen, people of God, there's nothing more to say to this word on tonight other than amen. Glory to God. We thank God for this word on tonight. My God, we do. We give God thanks. We give God praise. People of God, the Lord is concerned about us, and the Lord loves us this much to send such a word to help us to get it right. So we bless God. We thank God for the word on tonight. I'm telling you, nothing can be added to it. Glory be to God. But listen, we just have to eat it. Eat this word. Glory to God. And ingest it. Amen. Glory to God. And let us find ourselves walking upright before the Lord, so that the Lord can be pleased with us in all that we do and all that we say. Be pleased with our praise. Glory be to God. What are we offering? What are we offering unto Him? Glory to God. Let us consider ourselves. Let us consider what we're doing. Let us consider what we're offering unto the Lord. Amen, Jesus. So we thank God for this word on tonight. Amen. Come into glory to God. Help us to get it together. Amen. We will. And say that. We will. Amen. Glory be to God. We want to let you know, people of God, that you can get a copy of the broadcast on tonight. You can certainly get a copy. Amen, Jesus. All you have to do is text us. Let us know you would like to have a copy. And the first number is 912-257-3918. Again, 912-257-3918. As well, people of God, don't forget you can text 229-529-0914. And that's 229-529-0914. As well, for our international listeners, you may certainly reach out to us via WhatsApp. And that number is 678-608-7234. Again, 678-608-7234. And as well, if you would like to get a copy, you can as well text that number, and we'll certainly get that copy to you. Amen. We bless God. We thank God tonight. Amen, Jesus. Thank you, people of God. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for your patience on tonight. Glory be to God. Woman of God, we thank God for you tonight. We do bless the Lord for you on tonight. Thank you. And people of God, you know that the woman of God has, amen, a long-standing commitment for as long as the Lord will say for Sunday and Monday nights. Amen. She's with us on Sunday and Monday nights. And we do, again, give God thanks and give God praise for you, woman of God. Amen. Glory to God. We just cover you tonight. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. We're thanking you for your messenger on tonight. Father, we're asking that you will cover her, glory to God. Cover her tonight in your shed blood. Cover her, glory to God. Cover her family. Cover everything that concerns her, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, and tonight, glory to God, we do declare, we do decree that no weapon that's formed against her shall prosper. Glory to God. We're thanking you tonight for your glory, oh God, that becomes her shield, becomes her buckler. We thank you tonight, glory to God, for meeting her every need. We're thanking you tonight for blessing her ministry. We're thanking you tonight, oh God, for meeting again her every need. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you tonight, glory to God, for causing heaven to open unto her. We thank you tonight. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We thank you. We bless you tonight. We honor, we glorify you, oh God, in thy precious name, Jesus. Now, Father, we're asking that you will continue to breathe upon her. Breathe upon her your word, your fresh word for your people. We're thanking you for the doors of utterance to be open unto her, that she would come and that she would bless your people all over the land. Father, we thank you. We bless you now for what you're doing in her life. For this we give you thanks. For this we do give you praise in thy precious name, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Glory be to God. Again, we bless the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord tonight. Amen. Jesus, glory be to God. Thank the Lord for you, woman of God. Amen, Jesus. And at this time, we're going to turn the line back over to you for, amen, Jesus, the final words and for the blessing of the line on tonight. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Bless the name of the living God, people of God tonight. We're really living in a time that is so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus. We can't take chances no more. For us to take chances is like we're playing Russian roulette with our lives. And so the word of God is pure from Genesis to Revelation. And he wants us to know all of his word, not just some of it. But we are living in a time where God really loves us and he wants us to be saved. He wants a change. He wants a closer walk. He wants more of us. He wants us to be sold out. We can't be halfway right now. We can't afford to take chances and do what we feel like, when we feel like, and how. We've got to be mindful of, you know, every day of our life, that this could be my last day on earth. Because, hallelujah, he said, tomorrow is not promised to no man. There's no guarantee that any one of us will hear about PNN tomorrow or the next week. We don't know. People are dying, dropping down dead. The spirit of death is moving. And so God is looking for available vessels. He's looking for dedicated, commitment, sold out people. Not people who are making excuses or finding excuses to do what we want to do. And then when it comes to him, you know, we just doing something completely different. And so God is looking for us, an attitude as if he would come today, an attitude as if I go to sleep, I can guarantee that if he blow the trumpet tonight, I am going to be, oh, glory to God, I will be caught up to meet him in the air. We should live a life every day looking up. He said, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is nigh. And so we should live a life every day expecting Jesus to come. But we get so caught up in circumstances of life and issues of life, and we get so carried away, and the enemy is buffeting us, and we get, our minds are so full of so much things, and our lives are taking a toll on some of us, and we're just doing so much and dealing with so much that our minds are not like that. We have too much going on. And so, but God expects us
to be in an attitude of readiness to leave. This world is not our home. He wants us to be in an attitude that if I should blow the trumpet now, listen, you don't want to be left down here when the church is gone. You don't want to be left down here because God is going to take the remnant out of this earth. And when you leave here to deal with the greater part of the tribulation, it's not going to be easy. So let us live with anticipation and expectation that Jesus can come at any moment. Or we can leave. He can call my name, pull the silver cord, which is your lifeline, and snatch you out of here. But the thing is, where will you spend eternity? So let us live life as if he is coming. Let us live life to please him. We can no longer please ourselves because this is no longer about us right now. At this stage in our lives, in this time with the one world system and all of the one world order and the mark of the beast and all of this happening, it's a sign that you better know God. You better get close to God because it's going to be a force of vaccination and many are going to die. You don't want to be dealing with that, and I can't go through that tonight, but I'm just saying tonight that this is time to focus on God more than we've been doing it before. This is the time to fear God and walk in fear and reverence him every day as much as we can. Let us keep God in our minds and in our thoughts. And so, Father, I give you thanks tonight for your glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus, for your word. I thank you tonight for your for moving and breathing your word upon us, oh God, so that changes could come in our lives. So that we can draw closer to you, God. So that we could have the mind of Christ. So that we would be more kingdom-minded, oh God. God, deliver us, oh God, from self-doubt and self-will, God. And deliver us, God, from fearfulness, oh God. Deliver us, God, from doubting and unbelief and a lack of faith, God. In the name of Jesus, glory be to God. Give us a desire that burns within for the things of the kingdom. A desire that burns within, God, for you, all glory to God, for you, for worship, for prayer, for praising you. Give us that desire, bless his name, to live holy and to walk upright. Give us a desire, God, to seek you, God, like never before, because the time is short and the day is late, God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, be upon every household tonight. Cover every household with the blood of Jesus that is represented on this line tonight that is listening by Facebook, the radio, whichever way you're listening tonight, God. May you, God, grant them peace if they go into war, God. Give them rest in their minds, rest in their spirit, emotional rest, God, physical rest, oh God. Psychological rest, God. We need rest from the enemy. Oh, God, cover us with the blood of Jesus from every attack, God. Let no weapon formed against us as your people tonight prosper. And every tongue that rise up against us in judgment, God, we condemn it right now. We want to thank you for the angels of your presence that surround us day and night in the name of Jesus that are keeping us, God, from harms and dangers, from drive-by shootings, from mass shootings, oh, God. Keep us, oh, God, for we're living in dangerous time. Keep our children, God, the youth of the nation, the little ones, keep them safe, God, in the schoolhouses, in the colleges, in the university. Cover each business as represent tonight, oh God. Cover them on their jobs tonight, oh God. Driving along the busy highway, God, because there's accidents, oh God. In the airway, planes are coming down, God. More planes are crashing, God. It's going to be more devastation. So we need the blood of Jesus, gangs and violence and wars and women of war. We need the blood of Jesus. We need to stay under the blood. Cover us with the shed blood of Jesus. Bind the will of Satan and bring his works to naught and make him behave. Even in this time of Halloween, we cancel the plan of every witch and every warlock, every necromancy, every astral projection, every satanic mirror, every satanic altar, every satanic shrine, every satanic altar, every satanic church, glory to God, that is erected right now, that is in operation right now. We cover ourselves, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God from those who, God, do levitation at night. Oh God, from the graveyard diggers and the graveyard walkers, oh God, from the charms, oh God, we put it down tonight in the name of Jesus. No weapon, God, formed against us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for moving over every nation and everyone connected. May they have peace during this time of great persecution and war and uncivil rest in the world. We thank you for peace. We thank you most of all for Jesus, for your love and for dying. All glory to God tonight. And God, until we meet again, go with us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you, people of God. We look to see you on tomorrow night. God bless you tonight. Amen, Jesus. And do come back tomorrow night. Do bring someone with you. And we look to see you then. Blessings to each of you.
This session is no longer being recorded. Goodbye.